Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the third hour of this last day of the 4th of July weekend, Independence Day. I hope everybody had a good and safe time over the weekend. We are talking gardening here on the show, as always, gardening, landscaping, residential and commercial, pest control. In fact, we've been talking about pest situations quite a bit just here lately. This hour is brought to you by the informational system that Dirt Doctor Company provides for everybody, starting with DirtDoctor.com, very, very deep and free, no restriction on the basic website there for you at all. There is one membership area I'll tell you about in a little bit, but also free is the Dirt Doctor newsletter. Goes out to a lot of people. It's growing all the time, and it is free. All you have to do is sign up. Fill out the form on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com to get it, or send us an email to info@DirtDoctor.com. The latest one's kind of interesting because we put into alphabetical order all the toxins that we've covered over the years. We used to have a feature called the Poison of the Week, I think is what we called it. And we kind of ran out of the main ones. We covered so many. We covered pesticides. We covered synthetic fertilizers. We covered household cleaning products. We covered food items. All of the different kinds of toxins that are in our environment. And we've got them in alphabetical order now with links under each one that go to white papers, data, reports on the subject, and giving you details and other links about where to go to find more information. A lot of these people that are the anti-organic folks, the one tired argument they continue to try to use because it's all they got is to say that we don't have any research. That's a lie, but it's the only one that they seem to think that they can use. There's tons of research, both on the positive side of the things that we do recommend and on the negative side of things that we don't recommend, like 2,4-D and Roundup and synthetic fertilizers and MSMA and, you know, the things that these chemical pushers love to push. They'll even bemoan the fact that something's taken off the market, like MSMA was for homeowners. But we cover the basic pesticides in there, like Diazinon and Dursban and 7, and the basic kinds of things that people have used in the past and some still do, because a lot of people, they hear these folks recommending this stuff and then they see it for sale in the stores and they say, well, must not be anything wrong with it. They wouldn't be recommending it to me and selling it if there was anything wrong with it. Well, not so fast. Huge amount wrong with all of the stuff that I mentioned and much, much more. And that's in the latest newsletter. If you don't get it, you can go to the website. We'll have it on Facebook if it's not already there also. But in the archives of the newsletter, you'll find it. And it's a good tool to send somebody that's still making the big mistake of not taking the organic route. My books, there were 15 of them originally. There's still, I don't know, 11 or 12 of them that are real easy to find in the normal system of buying books, bookstores, and also online, Amazon, that sort of thing, where you can get the books. The latest two, the Turf book and the Professional Organics for the Professional, are the latest two books with the most current information. YouTube, there's a bunch of videos. I've got a new introduction on DirtDoctor.com that you can click on. It shows my garden. We had some response. I put some photographs of my garden on Facebook not too long ago, and there was a fair amount of response about it. So I did the latest introduction on our website in the garden and show you my a little bit of my ginkgo tree. We didn't show too much of it, but you can go to the library and see a whole lot more. Also, the big bay. We got the biggest bay in Texas, I'm sure. It's the Cooking Laurus Nobilis Bay. The library is on the website. It is where all the information is in alphabetical order. And then the nonprofit is the Texas Organic Research Center that people donate to help funding for the gathering of research information and doing research that we do ourselves. The one place that actually where there's a fee involved is the Organic Club of America. It's very low. You get a lot of information in the members area. And the latest thing is this trip that we have documented now in a 120-something slide show for you is Easter Island, one of the hardest places to get to on Earth, but one of the most unusual, and it's for you now in the members area. We'll put it up public at some point, but right now it's just in there for the members, and we hope you join and get involved with all the other things that we've got in there. To the phones, John is next in Arlington. Hello, John.
Hello, Mr. Garrett. Yes, I have a question to ask you about the fig tree, the one that got so big.
Yeah.
What kind was it?
What kind?
Uh-huh.
I have no idea. It was there long before Judy and I bought our house there.
Okay.
And the figs in my backyard, I couldn't even tell you what they are because mine are hand-me-downs.
Yeah, so, there's a barber up here in Arlington up there. Had two of them up there, and he had a bunch of gravel right up there in his front where he owns the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it had weeds growing up out there around there, and he wanted to kill it out, so he went up there and sprayed Roundup. He said it must have drifted over there in the fig trees, killed both of them within a few days.
Yep, it will.
And they were the trunk of those things, but about size about a foot to about a foot and a half diameter. Uh-huh. Where you got left the trunk down there. I said, man, what kind of? He had no idea what it was either. He said that's the biggest fig tree he ever seen. It was actually way up there.
Well, the thing that I usually recommend about figs is that if you see one that's producing really well and you taste it and it's a kind of fruit that you like. Fig is the easiest of all plants to propagate from a stem cutting. So you can take a stem cutting. The best time is late winter just as the buds are swelling, but you could do a stem cutting of a fig just about any time of the year. And then that way you know you get exactly what that fig that you liked so much was.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned Vern, V-R-N, brown turkey. Is that the one you recommend here in Texas?
Brown turkey is a good one, and it's one that you can easily find in the stores. So, yeah, if you want to get a good one, all the nurseries will have the ones that we've recommended in our plant books and that the A&M recommends and everybody.
This one is Vern, V-R-N-S, brown turkey.
Well, that just is talking about the diseases and everything that it's resistant to, probably. But brown turkey is a very common one, and it's a good one.
Okay. Okay, on black soil, if you have nematode or anything, would molasses help knock that out around the roots on these fig trees?
You bet. It's one of the reasons that we use molasses is that it stimulates biological activity, and it stimulates the good bugs, the good microbes, and the good microbes help push the pathogens out. Cornmeal is also a great tool. Cornmeal stimulates a beneficial fungus that's called Trichoderma, and when you throw whole ground cornmeal out around plants that are susceptible to disease or even have the disease, works great to knock it out. If you have fire blight on pears or any kind of plant at all, spraying the hydrogen peroxide like we talked about in the first hour, mixed with Garrett juice, will knock it out. It works beautifully.
Now, if I get a jar about 12 ounces of grandma's molasses, put it in a sprayer and spray for about all around the area on the roots, cover around the figs, would that take care of it? Would that be too much? Or
well, it helps a lot. I just use about 2 ounces per gallon of water in your spray. But if you add seaweed and apple cider vinegar and either liquid humate or compost tea to the molasses, it works a whole lot better. You will have made Garrett juice if you do that.
Okay.
That works a lot better than the molasses by itself.
Uh-huh.
I got to run. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We will be back in a minute and talk to Terry about tomatoes. Loretta got a tree issue up in Illinois. And David Fruit Trees, if you have a question or if you have a comment or if you have a good idea, a solution for something that we haven't been able to come up with too well, give us a call. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Website's dirtdoctor.com. As I mentioned, the newsletter is free. Just fill out the form that's right there on the homepage of the website of dirtdoctor.com, and we will send it to you on a weekly basis. What day? Don't know. Depends on when we get it done. Depends on how complicated the newsletter is that we're trying to do and how soon we can get it done. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
While summer is the absolute best time for swimming, cookouts, and much-anticipated vacations, it's the worst time to endure the pain and embarrassment of unexpected gas and bloating. Bloating often isn't even triggered by how much food you eat, but rather what you eat. Some foods are difficult for your body to break down, and those undigested particles pass into the colon and produce uncomfortable gas bubbles that can make your stomach swell and bloat, and can even lead to weight gain. Enter your summertime savior, Dr. O'Hara's award-winning probiotics. This probiotic powerhouse helps by efficiently breaking down food that is challenging to digest. As a result, the undigested food occupies less space, so gas and bloating are significantly minimized. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available in convenient blister packs, perfect for traveling. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this summer. Look for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. One thing that was said that kind of stuck in the back of my mind, we were going real fast earlier with an earlier caller, was about squash bugs. And he said that he had read in our book that BT was for squash bugs, and it's not. I should have said it at the time. It's for the squash vine borer. The BT is the squash bugs, the spinosad product, you know, which is a killing organic spray, would work pretty well. And I don't have that on the entry in on the website, and it wouldn't be in the Texas Bug Book either, because that's a new tool. But it would be effective for the squash bugs. And there's other kind of things, too. You might want to check the whole entry out on the website for squash bugs. Let's get back to the phones. Here's Terry and Richardson next up. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Howard. I've got a raised bed with a couple of kinds of potatoes in it, a red and a white.
Okay.
And got them in the ground reasonably early. And they went through a blooming cycle and beginning to die back, and I'm seeing some potatoes poking through the surface at spots, and of course, if I don't catch them immediately, they begin to turn green a little bit.
Which you don't want to have happen.
Right. And I've covered those with compost fairly thickly, and I'm hoping that will grow out. Do you have any idea if that will fade out with time?
The green, once it's turned green, I'm not sure it will. That'll be interesting to watch and see. I've never noticed whether you can reverse that. Let me know what you see there. But the worst case scenario is that you harvest the potatoes later on and that one little part that had seen some sunlight is green. You just cut that away. It doesn't ruin the potato at all. It's just that green spot. But it might revert once you cover it up like that. One thing that you might want to do is, in addition to putting compost, put some shredded mulch over it too, so it'll hold in place a little bit better from wind and rain knocking it around.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but that's a common issue.
I will let you know how that turns out.
And, okay.
Now, the strange thing that's happening with these potatoes is that while some of the vines were dying back, others, there's new growth coming out of the main stem. It's not out of new potatoes or out of the earth. It's some of the old stems are getting new growth on them, and I've actually had a second blooming season that's already passed. I've not ever seen that before. Is this just the strange weather we've had?
What you're experiencing is kind of like I was talking earlier, caller, about the strange insect situation. You know, we've talked about it on the air and even done a newsletter about it because of the enormously heavy rain that we've had. You're seeing plants do things that are out of the ordinary, and you're seeing insects and diseases pop up here and there that are kind of out of the ordinary too. So that second blooming, I think, is just related to that, and not anything to worry about for sure.
Okay. And then I've got some blackberries, if you got another moment.
Sure.
I've been picking them just almost every day to keep ahead of the birds on the ones that turn black or dark. And then I went by without getting out there for a couple of days and went out there yesterday, and all the stems are empty. It's just like they all of a sudden ripened and fell off, or all of a sudden all fell off. It's just because I had, you know, I'd probably only picked 20% because the other 80% were still red, hadn't turned yet.
That's related to the weather too, and I've had the same situation. We've got huge blackberry vines. I just let them kind of grow wild in one of the experimental gardens, and then we've got a couple of test blackberries in another place, and they're still producing right now. This big old thornless one that I got, I actually got it as a hand-me-down plant. I bought some from them, I guess, actually, Coppell's Community Garden. They've got them over there, and so they don't even know what the name of it is, but it's really good just now coming into bloom. But I'm seeing the blackberries stay good on the plant a very short time. They go bad quickly. And I think that that's related to all the weather that we had, all the rain. Our big, wild-growing blackberries, they put on a tremendous amount of production real early, and the berries didn't stay ripe very long. They went bad in a hurry and fell off, kind of like you're experiencing. And I think that's nothing but heavy rain and really, really wet soil. Blackberries tend to be almost xeric. They kind of like it a little bit on the dry side. So all that rain, they didn't like very much.
Okay. Now, I've read that once a branch has bloomed, it won't produce berries again next year.
That's right. They need to be cut away. Okay. You need to have it on second-year growth. Right.
Yeah. All right. I'm trimming those off, and I've got a huge amount of new growth that's producing no berries. But I guess that's next year.
Next year, they'll produce like crazy for you.
All right. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate the call. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Got one open line at 866-444-3478. Website, dirtdoctor.com. If you haven't gone to our Facebook page, check it out. Always have some fun things going on there. Go to facebook.com/thedirtdoctor. I'll be back after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, and let's get back to the phones. David's in Arkansas someplace, and next up. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing? We're up in the mountains up here, just below Henderson. We're almost at the Missouri line, but the reason I called is I ended up with a batch of seedling canning pear trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got them up. There's some of them that are about 18 inches tall, and I've got some that are probably 7 or 8 inches tall. And should I wait and try to get those into a permanent location later, or should I go ahead and try to move them now?
What kind of containers are they in, David?
Well, I've got some of them in pots. I've got some of them in 5-gallon buckets. I've got some of them that just they just showed up in the ground, and they're about 6 inches, and I got to get them out of the ground where they're at and get them into something.
Yeah, I'd plant them. I'd put them in the ground where they go, and since they're so small, you're going to need to put some kind of stakes, not connected to them, but just on the outside of them so people don't accidentally run over them or whatever. But I'd get them in the ground rather than leaving them in a pot, because they're going to be in more stress in a pot, plus their roots will hit the wall of the pot and start circling, which they won't happen in the soil.
Right. Putting wire cages around them to keep the deer and the rabbits and stuff from mowing them off. But I've also got, I'm from Texas, originally South Texas, and I'm well familiar with mesquite trees, and we've got some kind of locust up here that'll make a mesquite tree crawl up and go back home if I could ever get them started. They got the nastiest thorns that there ever was.
Yeah, that sounds like honey locust. That's a terrible tree.
Yeah, I have tried girdling them. I've tried cutting them down. I've tried salting them. I've tried, how can they get rid of these stupid things, and they're spreading.
Well, the only thing you can do, David, you're going to foul up your soil if you use, you know, some of the salt and some of the nasty stuff. Really, the only answer, the good answer, is to cut the big ones down and have them ground up and put in a compost pile so the compost will destroy any seed that still happened to be around or whatnot. And then as new shoots come up and new seedlings come up, just keep them cut down or mowed off as best you can until they use up all their stored energy. There's nothing you can do. I guess some of the techniques that some of the fellows use on mesquite of using diesel on the stumps after they're cut down, diesel actually works pretty well. And diesel and, you know, basic crude oil and things like that, people think they're horrible contaminants, and they are when there's too much of it. But actually, you know, it's an organic material, and the microbes break it down pretty fast. So if you are going to use some kind of a chemical to kill the stumps, diesel is what I would use.
Because I didn't want to spray Roundup on them. I mean,
Roundup won't even work very well, so I wouldn't do that. You'll just contaminate your soil that way.
Right. Right, but okay. Well, I'll try that. And you say just go ahead and move the small the trees and put them in.
If they were mine, I would. Yeah.
I planted a bunch earlier, and you were talking about root depth on them. I want to plant them just as shallow as same height as what they are now. Correct.
Yeah, unless you planted them too deep in the containers.
Well,
you need to have that flare, you know, as close to the surface of the soil as possible.
Right. Okay.
Where the roots are first coming out, in other words, just try to get that up as close to the surface as you possibly can.
Okay. Well,
all righty. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Pretty part of the country, the mountains of Arkansas. Here's Tina in Denton next. Hey, Tina.
Hi, Howard. I have a school garden. It's quite large. It's about 50 by 70. Mm-hmm. And we have 10 raised beds, and we have black land. So we've had to do a lot to the soil in the beds, lots of compost and expanded shale and different things we've added to help the soil itself. In the walkways, we've put decomposed granite just because, you know, it's a school, and we have school children out there all the time.
Right,
it's just for maintenance-free, you know, making it clean-looking and all that. The problem we have is Bermuda grass continuing to creep in and get in the beds and get in the walkways. And, you know, other than just manual labor and pulling that Bermuda grass out, it's just a nightmare. I'd rather my kids go out there and enjoy the garden and plant and do things and not spend their whole class period pulling weeds or pulling grass.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out a better solution.
Well, one of the downsides of decomposed granite, and I like it, I've got it, I use it myself a lot, but one of the downsides of it is that it's not just rock, there is soil in with it, you know, and it grows plants great. It's one of the reasons why I actually use it in bed preparation as one of the ingredients. I'm not a huge fan of expanded shale. I like decomposed granite and green sand and lava sand and azomite and all those kind of products. And so as money is available, instead of adding more of the expanded shale, add some of those rock materials in the future. Back to the weeds, the thing that I would recommend that you do there is teach the kids how to make the vinegar herbicide, because it's a thing that it's a homemade deal, and they could be kind of fun for them to learn how to make it and spray, get the Bermuda kill back, and then spray it on a weekly basis anytime it starts to grow again, and you can get it under control.
Okay.
You could use the commercial organic herbicides like Scythe, Razor, Racer, Burnout, those kind of things. But to make it themselves with the formula from our website would be a cool way to go. If you want to buy an EPA-labeled product that's vinegar, there's a 20% vinegar that is on the market and available, too. So you got several different ways to go.
Okay. Now, the Bermuda grass that they pull out, can that be put in our compost?
Yes.
Okay. I was afraid because I've seen Bermuda grass roots come back like mammoth.
You can put you can put any kind of weeds in the compost pile if you're managing the compost pile and keeping it moist, turning it every now and then, and getting the biological activity up, which means the heat, and it'll neutralize the Bermuda rhizomes and stolons perfectly. They can't live through that.
Okay. Do you have any other recommendation for managing blackland soil and amendments that'll make it looser?
Just adding the amendments that I just mentioned a minute ago and using the Garrett juice mixture as a spray and a drench and keeping shredded native tree trimmings, you know, as the mulch on top of the soil. It's a pretty simple formula, and a lot of people think it sounds too simple, but it really, really does work.
Okay. You said native.
Ground-up tree trimmings.
Right, because we have in the past, we put pine bark mulch, and I've heard that pine bark mulch is not good to use because it could contain some poisons or something that's harmful.
I don't like it at all. It has natural chemicals in it, phenols and terpenes that help protect the tree. You know, that's what it's doing its job, when it's bark on the tree. But when you use pine bark mulch as a mulch, it actually slows down plant growth, and it doesn't stay in place. It blows and moves around. That's why the shredded stuff is so much better. It locks into place, and it's really well balanced with protein and carbon. And so as it breaks down, it becomes a natural fertilizer. It's just best across the board. Ground-up tree trimmings that come from your area.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Should I remove, if we have heavily, you know, use some of that pine bark mulch,
put the shredded stuff on top of it, hold it in place, and it'll eventually break down and be okay. It's just in the beginning, it's got those fresh chemicals in there that aren't good for plant growth.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All
good job you're doing there. Way to go. It's Maggie's turn, Fort Worth. Is this friend Maggie?
Yes.
What's going
on? Just in time for the birds.
No, not really. Got about
I've been listening to you talk about mowing down the asparagus. I have a huge growth of it right now.
All right.
If I take out a portion of it so that what is coming up gets sun, but it's just me. I don't want to try to mow the whole thing and then have to eat it all at once. I can stage it, correct?
Yeah, you can. You can mow down part of it and another part later on.
It doesn't matter how far into the summer, it'll still come back.
Well, I've been playing around with this idea, as you've probably heard me talking about, for the last 2 or 3 years, and I don't see any negative about it at all yet, Maggie. I'm about to do it for the, in fact, I've already done some of it the second time, and I'm about to do all of mine for the second time right here in the middle of the summer, and we'll see. But the last time I did it, I had great production following the cutting down of the top of the asparagus. And then the next year, this year, the production, this first crop in the spring, is the biggest asparagus you've ever seen. I didn't get to harvest a lot of it because I was busy and the rain kept me from doing it. So it just grew to the big ferns mostly. And I cut it down and here it came again.
Are you giving it extra water or doing anything additional to it when you trim it?
No, not at all. Just normal. I think you need to fertilize, give it a little bit of an additional shot of organic fertilizer when you do it, because you are causing it to use up some of its stored energy in the ground. And that's why I was afraid that it would limit production the next year. But I'm not seeing any evidence of that at all.
What about the seeds? I get little sprouts in the garden. They usually get pulled up by accident because they're in with weeds.
Well, the best asparagus comes from male plants, not female plants. The female plants are the ones that have the berries, obviously. And the reason is a lot of the nutrition, a lot of the energy goes into the production of those berries. So growing them from seed, you're going to get some males and some females. It's best long term. It's fine to grow them from seedlings. I think that your production will be better from the hybrids that you get from the original planting, though. It'd be interesting to see, though. You can do it. It's just I'm not recommending that you keep the asparagus that has berries around because you'll tend to have thinner and weaker sprouts from those plants.
Would the packages that you get of the hybrid asparagus all be male plants?
They should be, yep.
So the females that I have out now are simply things that somehow came in with that?
It's kind of like my ginkgo. My ginkgo was planted 30 years ago as a male, but it is loaded with fruit right now, and it is every year. So I don't know where those females come from sometimes.
Well, I know I'm in charge of this research.
Let's get it going.
I'll let you know how the seeds work out.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866. Probably won't have time for you to get on there. I'm not going to give it again. I'll be back right after this. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulture expert. For great results, whether vegetables, lawns, trees, shrubs, or flowers, I recommend Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Its slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding and is safe for children and pets. So whether you're a seasoned or novice gardener, trust the fertilizer that's been proven effective for over 85 years. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Anywhere you want good things to grow. Milorganite for better results naturally.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And I wanted to remind you one more time, we have some wonderful dogs that need a home here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at the SPCA. So look at our website, look at the SPCA button and check out the photos of Chewy, Zoe, Adrian, and Sparks, and also this week's dog with the quite unusual name, RuPaul, who is a female blue heeler beagle, and she looks great. So check them out, and let's help out these animals. Back to the phones, Mike in California. Where are you in California, Mike?
Out near Sagastopol, out in western Sonoma County.
Okay, great. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's always been a pleasure listening to you. I've heard so many of your callers call in with problems about overweight bearing on their fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
And although, you know, I have wine grape vineyards, unfortunately, most of the really great orchards, the Book Peach and particularly Gravenstein apples, are leaving the area, which is a shame. This is perfect. The conditions are perfect. It's very cool, and it's absolutely outstanding. But what they have always done and still do is they rut around in large trailers in the orchards and prop the branches. And particularly these people with just garden fruit trees, I mean, at their house, and not orchards, just all they need to do is go get a 1x6 or 1x8 or a 2x, if any, a 2x doesn't bend quite as much, but that way you can prop it up if you see a problem coming, and then just do the normal pruning.
Well, that's right.
If
the pruning is done properly, you don't need to do that in most cases, but a homeowner propping up the limbs, I have no problem with that at all, and probably something I should mention more often. Some people don't thin out the fruit quite as much as they should either. So it's a management thing to a degree. But your tip on propping is a good one for homeowners.
Well, I think so. I mean, they Of course, on a commercial basis, it's the only way to go, and they do overfruit. But on the other hand, they do all the other things that are proper anyway, and they do extremely good pruning. And
of course, on apples, they generally do those, and some other fruit too. They do them on arbors, just like you grow grapes. So they're propped, you know, from the beginning and all the time. So
yes.
Well, Mike, I appreciate it. That's a good tip.
All right. Well,
thank you, sir.
People ought to do it. That's so easy. You lose a lot of peaches or a lot of apples if you don't just prop them up.
That's right.
That's so easy to do. You won't get any breakage.
Okay. Good tip, Mike. Thank you very much. Margaret in Centerville is next. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. Again, I need to know a best approach to wage a war on this weed that, because of the rain, has just come up in horse paddocks. And it's very, I've asked you a long time ago, I cannot identify it, but it has a woody stem, although it, you know, it's not like a bush or a tree. It comes up like grass, and it has a little, tiny little yellow flower, and then the seed head is a little round ball. But I think it's a perennial. It doesn't go to seed until the second year.
Is the round ball spiky?
No, not at all. It's like it's smaller than a green pea. But, you know, lots of seeds. And the seeds apparently are there from years ago. Because of the rain, the right conditions, it has come up like.
Sounds like some kind of a nightshade plant, even though it's white.
No,
flower.
I've had that too, and it's not that.
It's not that.
The
well,
significant thing is that it has a woody stem, and it has a very extensive root system. But anyway, the man who mows, and, you know, I've told him to keep on mowing to keep it from going to seed, but he wants to spray. He has sprayed hay fields and thinks with something that'll kill weeds and not grass, and that's like the feed store says 2,4-D, and I said no, and then they say remedy kills the woody stem, and I don't.
Yeah, remedy is one of the nastiest chemicals
okay.
still on the market
well,
out there.
What, I have
what you need to look into, I think I've mentioned this to you before, Margaret, is one of the flame devices. There's one called Red Dragon that's on the market that I've actually played with. One of their tools. They have them in all sizes, depending on, you know, whether you're a homeowner or a commercial person. They have them that, you know, run on the back of tractors that are very effective on certain kinds of weeds. And I think the kind that you have, especially in a horse paddock where you don't really want anything growing there, that's the perfect
Except
tool.
Except grass.
Well, you can the Bermuda grass is probably what you have growing there. And so doing the flame on this big stuff that's growing in just, you know, certain areas, I think that's the way to get it under control.
Well, since he wants to spray, and he said it's thicker in you know, some areas than others, I mean almost like grass, but I wondered about the orange oil and vinegar as far as spraying.
What would be better in that case would be one of the commercial products, Scythe or a Monterey, one of the fatty acid products, and add some vinegar to it. We've done that and had great results spraying everything from Bermuda grass to nut grass and everything in between. So give that a try. Get the Scythe.
It will leave the grass alone?
No, you've got to spot spray it. Nothing is going to be selective except for the product called Agrilawn Crabgrass Killer.
Okay, I have looked for that.
Well, that's the one that you're going to need. Let me put you on hold. We got to go here. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Enjoyed being with you during the week. Enjoy your gardens wherever you are out there in the country. And, of course, don't forget to feed the birds. Website's dirtdoctor.com if you have questions before next Sunday. See you then. Thanks.